I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Okay, members, have we apologies, please?
Yes, Chair, Councillor Laura Devlin. Unfortunately, her son is unwell, so she's not able to meet.
Councillor Howie, and also I think it should be noted that Colin Bowsey is being replaced by Mr. Call from Glynn, so I suspect that was an apology.
We do. Thank you, members. Thank you, Josephine. Okay, any declarations of interest at this juncture? No? Okay. Moving on then to item number three, and that's the action sheet arising from the meeting held on the 31st of July. And members, we normally take these each page, one page by after another for accuracy, and then we'll open the floor to any questions. Okay, members, page one, page two, and page three. I'm opening the floor for any questions. Thank you, Councillor O'Hare.
Hello. I'd just like to bring up under item one the ways in which we can add further value to the organisation, the difficulty faced by members potentially when documents are only uploaded very late in the day prior to meetings. So we had quite a few uploaded yesterday at about 20 past four and quite large documents, and I'm aware some of them have been available before, but again others were uploaded today just before our pre-meeting started, so it's difficult to possibly get time to read all in the depth that we may want to when not enough time is given for that, and like that to be considered going forward, that we get a little bit more time. Obviously, there are many people on the committee who have other commitments and other professions that they're involved in, and so to leave it to the day before can cause some difficulties.
Thank you, Councillor O'Hare. Josephine, would you need?
Councillor O'Hare, yes, you have a fair point. Let's try to get up as quickly as possible. This audit committee is probably different to a lot of them, where the annual audit is ongoing and things are just happening as the audit is. But your point is well made.
Thank you, Director. I just wanted to ask a couple of questions as well myself in relation to that particular item that Councillor O'Hare referred to, the adding value to the organisation, and is there something we could bring back, members? I thought about this long and hard, especially when I was doing my annual report, as to how we add more value to the value we already add to the organisation. But is that something that maybe officers could have a think about, if there's other ways that we could bring value, more value? We welcome that, so maybe that's something for the officers to look at. And the other thing is in relation to training for members. We now have a new member joining us, and also it's always very good to get refresher training every year to keep us up to speed with different changes that are taking place as well. And I was going to ask officers for some comments around possible training for members, and asking members if they're keen to see some training for themselves as well. Director.
Yes, so we'll take that back as an action. I know training has been run in the past by NILGA, and we, you know, we've certainly can that, but I know in the past we've actually done some localised training with the actually audit office staff and audit and then our staff. So that's maybe something we could look at, whether one of our next meetings, whether we actually, the first session is about training and then we move to the meeting. So if people are coming anyway for the audit committee, we could actually look at the day of the audit committee. But we'll take that away and see what's possible and look at the dates remaining this financial year of the audit committee and see.
Thank you. I'll bring back in Councillor Hare.
Thank you. Just on that, I'd be very keen and always would be to avail of any training that is on offer. I think it's always good to refresh skills and they can always be advanced further. So I'd be very keen on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hare. I take it from the other members, and we did have a pre-meeting discussion around this, that other members are also keen to get training as well. So we look forward to that coming back in due course. Thank you. Okay, members, we need a proposer and seconder to approve the action sheet. Others? Councillor Hare, thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to item number four, assessment of performance for 23-24. And I think, is it Catherine who's going to take this report? Thank you, Catherine. Thank you.
The assessment of performance 23-24 was approved, agreed and approved at the SPNR meeting last Thursday the 12th, along with the summary document looking forward, looking back, going forward, with agreement that it be published on the council website before the 30th of September, in line with our statutory obligations. I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, members, I don't see anybody indicating any questions. Catherine, thank you for that and for all the hard work that goes into that. Members, if I could have a proposer and seconder for noting.
Happy to propose.
Thank you. Councillor Hare, thank you. Members, that takes us to item number five, the update of members' interests. And I think, Josephine, you're going to take this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The paper there is in front of you. Members are aware that every 6 months, Democratic Services are in touch about interest forms. The latest email went out on asking members to review and, required, if required, update the interest forms via Democratic. So I suppose that we're aware of that. And just for members' note, recommendation 6 months.
Jarvan?
Yeah, sure. I suppose it's trying to find an easier way of forms being filled out. Like, can a Microsoft Forms be sent around so it's easily available? You know, someone can just literally type into a field and it generates the document for them. Or is it the moment to expect it that we would get the Word document, fill that out, and just send that back to Democratic Service? So I think there is an automated way of, you know, less onerous on everyone, if we can automate it a wee bit better. We get at the moment, we just fill out the Word document and send it.
Councillor Sovereign, I know your technical skills, so I mean, you do raise a fair point, and we are looking, this is, you talk about our digital strategy. Bring it back to Democratic Service. But unfortunately, this turn it'll be.
And I should state that there is other tools that you can use other than Microsoft.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Okay, members, could I have a proposer and seconder to approve the report, please?
Yeah, happy to approve.
Councillor Sharvin, thank you. Councillor Hare, thank you. Members, that takes us to the Corporate Risk Register and the AHC Directorate Risk Register as well, which has been tabled. And we'll start with Josephine first. Thank you.
Members, the report is there. We have reviewed the senior management team on the 9th of September. quarter one assurance statements, even as late as the weekend when we had sort of the announcements about the RCD, and we even updated the risk register in relation to that. At this point in time, we have 12 corporate risks. There have been and scoring of those risks, the impact risk owner and the actions. Any questions before handing over to Director Risk Director? It's his turn this meeting to go through his risk. I'll leave it here. Any questions, first of all, on the corporate risk register? Okay,
thank you, Josephine. Members, in relation to the city deal, could you just brief us as to the risks that you see facing the council just going forward, given the announcement that was made last week? Thank you.
I suppose it was a shock to everyone just in relation to the announcement that was made last Friday. I'm delighted to say that that decision has been wholly reversed. So we are proceeding on as previously the plan, prior to announcement on Friday through delivery. We obviously, as a BRCD partnership, have taken on board the potential that something could change at a moment's notice. But as I say, we're content that we're proceeding on delivery-wise as a BRCD partnership and as a material.
You, members. Thank you, Chief Executive, for that. Councillor Sharvin wants to come
in. Okay. Oh, thanks, Chair. It's just to follow up on that. I suppose it is obviously very welcome that we have had the assurance from the Treasury, but it does throw up questions around, you know, obviously any project goes forward at risk, but there's added risks now because we have allocated repair money to the procurement or the consultation or whatever it may be. But who would be liable then if the money was to reverse again? Because I suppose until it's in the bank, then we don't have it. So, you know, do we need to put a higher risk on this project now, or what do we need to do from an audit perspective, you know, just to keep it on the radar? I suppose it is a shock that it would have been reversed in the first place, so we don't know that couldn't happen again.
Yeah, I fully appreciate where Councillor Hanlon's coming from, and it is something that we have discussed at Programme Board or Project Board from the BRCD partnership perspective. As I understand it, the Minister for Economy, I think, advised yesterday that we have it in writing that there is confirmation that the VRCD projects, the programme of works is secure and will continue on. It does generally reflect the risks associated with any project that receives funding, and that's something we're always conscious of. There are provisions within the contracts for funding, and I will just clarify those back again in writing to members on what each of the clarifications are, but they do allow for scenarios where, in the event of where something has been dealt with, and I can't remember the exact wording, but something around good faith, and something has been cancelled, that it would actually become potentially a departmental issue in relation to any costs. But to be honest with you, it's something that on Monday morning, even though we were aware that we were moving towards, I suppose, the statement or the confirmation of the reversal of the decision to pause, as a management, I had called together all of our staff that are involved in the delivery of city deals, and had pulled together, I suppose, the detail of where we were at contractually with each of the projects. So looking at, you know, where we actually had contracts in place and instructions, we'd looked as well then at what our financial liability was to this point, and then any potential impacts moving forward, particularly from a compensation event perspective as well. So we had already started to move through all of those kind of aspects. So that work was done on Monday. We were, because as I say, we were definitely not resting on our laurels that we were made aware by the news, etc. Things were getting reinstated. But now that it has been, I
suppose, confirmed. We obviously are pulling back from that piece of work, but we as a programme board from Belfast Region City Deal are very conscious of it, and we will be looking at that, I would suggest, at our next executive board meeting, and we'll advise you in due course then on that.
Thank you, Chief Executive, for that. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, no, thank you. In a weird way, an unfortunate way, maybe what had happened enabled us to actually do that piece of work, which will be beneficial throughout the life of the project, to be made aware of, you know, implications and challenges that may prop up. I suppose also it reminds us as a council of what we could have lost, you know, as a district, and the benefit that the projects actually bring to Newry, Mourne and Down. And I think that hopefully will stick with members right across the chamber of, you know, the great added value that will bring. But I think it's really good to acknowledge it as a risk, because we don't know what may happen over the future of this particular government. And, you know, there is other city deals that haven't been signed off yet. So, yeah, no, it's good to acknowledge it, and it's good that the pieces of work that the Chief Executive's already informed us about has been done and will continuously be tracked as well. Do that, Chair.
Councillor Sharvin. Okay, we'll ask Andy then to take us through the AHC risk register. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Chair. So the AHC risk register is presented for members' consideration. It's the function of safeguarding has moved in the department from last financial year. So at risk five there, that covers failure of safeguard children and adults, and that's as much across the council as it is would have been previously in the department. Other risks are associated with ensuring the relevant statutory and legislative requirements within facilities, including compliance, fraud, theft and mismanagement of money, property and assets, and then also reduction in funding and or income, what impacts that may have on service delivery. So I appreciate there's quite a bit of information there, but happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you, Andy, for that update. Councillor Sharvin has a question.
Thanks, Andy. I suppose the one first thing that popped out to me was the leisure safe accreditation across our leisure centres. And I note in the comments that we actually didn't achieve accreditation. Is there a reason why we didn't get accreditation, and what is it that we're going to do differently to address that risk so that we get accreditation across our leisure facilities in the future? I suppose that's my first question.
Through the chair, so there's two main elements to that leisure safe accreditation. The ensuring safe systems of work and right protocol and procedures are in place for operation of pools, for example, which presents a significant operational risk. Those elements are in place. The other side of it is the compliance with regards our risk assessments and remedial works, the likes of Legionella and asbestos, and that relates through to those work or risks that have been identified in other, the likes of historic audit reports, but we are working very closely with the department. I understand that there are contracts in place or about to be in place for the likes of Legionella and asbestos. So some of those actions have been outstanding for quite some time, but we are starting to see movement on that, at which stage we would be confident once those compliance elements are in place in terms of the facilities, that would be going again for the leisure safe accreditation, and we would be able to achieve that. So that's really what I suppose why we haven't been able to achieve it to date.
Thanks, Andy. And then my second question, it relates to the risk for, you know, reduction in funding and our income has impact on service delivery. It's not explicitly called out as a risk, or maybe I've missed it the document, but obviously availability of staff to deliver, you know, fitness classes, etc., within facilities, And it's something that's sometimes often raised with me is, you know, the options or alternatives of people engaging in leisure within our facilities is limited, particularly in the Down Leisure Centre side, because we don't have the coaches to do it. And, you know, we talk about engagement and people coming in and using it, and that has an impact on our income. Have we anywhere tracking that as a risk that we don't have the staff to deliver these classes and opportunities for people to use our facilities?
It is certainly a challenge in terms of the recruitment of staff into vacant posts, particularly frontline posts in leisure, for the likes of coaches and those take lessons. And certainly that's an income to us, an important revenue stream. But what we have done is implement a contract recently, which allows us to bring in coaches. So in the first instance, our own staff will be offered the opportunity to take sessions, fitness sessions or classes. And if there isn't staff availability, then the opportunity to bring in coaches through a supplier. So that's only recently been put in place, week or two really. So I'd like to think that we will be making improvements on that front in terms of promoting more classes, putting more things on. Certainly not being able to cancel classes at short notice, because we haven't had coaches available. So and certainly I can bring updates on that through my own AHC committee or to members directly.
Answer Hanlon.
It's just a follow-on that. So I know that you have obviously the delivery partner there, but are there any like kind of bank kind of PTs or fitness instructors that you would use via agency, or is there any sort of plan to go? I don't really agree with the agency, but maybe in this case where you maybe are going to be let down at the last minute, that you could pull an instructor in who's setting, you know, maybe like a student or something like that, you know.
All right. Yeah, certainly the use of casual panel is something that we're looking at too. Maybe less so agency, but to be honest, we'll look at all options. Sometimes with casual panel, it's difficult to get someone at very short notice. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but we will use every opportunity, I suppose, to ensure that classes aren't cancelled at short notice. With this new operating model, as such a hybrid model, where it's our own staff when available and bringing in coaches, we're going to do a review of all of the classes that are available and then look at putting on more classes and promoting that. Because I know it is, we do get complaints about it, and appreciate you do also as members. So it's something that we know it's very emotive at times. So once we do that review, we'd like to think that we're availability. And it's more reliable in terms of time. So happy again to.
Sorry, just to follow up on my own questions. You mentioned the review. I don't sit on AHC, but when do you expect that review to be complete and the outcome of that to be and felt by members of our leisure centres?
Certainly, I suppose, because we've put that contract just recently in place, I've been doing that review of available classes and how well they're attended, etc. But I'd like to think sort of by the end of this quarter, so really coming back to members probably end of October, start of November with an update on things.
Okay, thank you, Andy, for that, and thank you, members, for your questions. Okay, can we move to a proposer and seconder to approve those two risk registers, please? Councillor Sharvin, thank you. Members, that takes us to item number 7, which is the statement of accounts for 23-24 within open business. And within them, item number 8 in closed business is the NIAO report charge to those with governance. And strictly speaking, we need to undertake the report governance before we can actually approve the accounts. So could I suggest to members that we move item number 7 to the end of the agenda? and go through straight to closed business. And then when we come back out of closed business, we'll take item number 7 and open business at the end of the meeting, and that would cover our requirements for this objective. So members, I see nodding heads, so if members are in agreement, that's great, thank you. Oh, I'm respect to that. This is great, everybody's keeping me right, it's brilliant. Okay, members, so with that, as said, we need to move into closed business, and for items 8 to 18, these are deemed to be restricted under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. So I'd like a proposer and seconder to go into closed business, please. Mayor? Mr. King, thank you. Okay, members? Mr. King has agreed to note the report. Item number 9, the update on audit recommendations. On the proposal of Councillor Hannan, seconded by Councillor Mathers, it was agreed to note the update in relation to legacy audit recommendations. Item number 10, direct award contracts. On the proposal of Councillor King, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to note the quarter 1 update in relation to direct award contracts and quarter 2 direct award contract activity to date. Item number 11, procurement action plans. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to note the update in relation to the Directorate procurement action plans. Item 12, update on fraud and whistleblowing, including raising concerns, NFI 2024 update. On the proposal of Councillor O'Hare, seconded by Councillor Mathers, it was agreed to, one, note the update in relation to fraud and raising concerns cases, which have been detailed in Appendix 1. Two, note the progress and actions arising from the NIAO internal fraud risk assessment. And three, approve the revised raising concerns policy detailed at Appendix 2. Item number 13, Planning Department update. On the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Hare, it was agreed to note the contents of the report. Item 14, Summer NI summary report. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor King, it was agreed to accept Summer NI summary report. Item 15, Interim Audit Plan 24-25. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Mathers, it was agreed to approve the Internal Audit Plan 24-25. Item 16, Fleet and Asset Management Final Report. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor King, it was agreed to accept the Fleet Asset Management Report. Item 17, PCSP Audit 23-24 Summer NI. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor King, it was agreed to accept the PCSP Audit 23-24. And item number 18, PCSP audit 21-22-23 EY. On the proposal of Councillor O'Hare, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to accept the PCSP audits of those 3 years. Okay, members, so that takes us out of closed business and into open business and takes us back to agenda item number 7, which was the accounts for 23-24. I want to ask the director to come in first before we pass to Gerard. Thank you, Josephine.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to take the opportunity first of all, to thank Gerard and the team for all their hard work. This point, it was already said that over the summer, while others are maybe off on holiday and enjoying annual leave, there people are beaving behind the scenes to get the accounts to where they are. A long and complex document. I just wanted to thank the finance team for their hard work. Also to the audit office and the team, Cathy, for all the interactions over the last few weeks, and to thank you and your team for all your hard work in getting us to this. At that point, I'll hand over just to finish up.
Thank you. So, members, the detailed draft accounts were submitted to both the Audit Office and DFC on the 20th of June 24, and members received a detailed presentation from myself on the 5th of July. So at section 2.1, I have slightly jumped the gun in advance of the audit office report that was charged with governance. I said there was no material year-end adjustments, but there is actually one in there, and it's a reclassification in the debtor section. So it was just the leisure VAT income we received, or the refund, and moved from a VAT line to government debtor. So I'll correct the record on decision time. I suppose I just want to draw members' attention to the annual governance statement. There's been two small changes since the the 5th of July, and that is the inclusion of the soil sample fraud issue, and all 11 councils have included that within their governance statement. And I've also included updated wording in relation to city deal funding, just from last week, it being paused and unpaused. So I suppose it's already been mentioned, but the audit office are still reviewing the audit file, and the report of those charges of governance still needs reviewed for factual accuracy, but broadly content with the points, and a management response will be brought back in January. So following the completion of the audit, should any material issues arise, or if the audit office require any significant amendments to the annual governance statement, I'll let members know in advance of the chief executive and the chairperson signing the accounts. So it's just really on that basis. It's for members to approve for the chief executive and the chairperson to sign the accounts on completion of the audit. I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you, George. We don't have any questions for you at this juncture. So thank you again for all your hard work and your team, and likewise to Cathy, as said by the director. So that just leaves us with proposing a seconder to approve the accounts.
Happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you. Sharvin. Seconder, members. Okay, members, that takes us to the last items, 19 to 22, and George's just going to briefly touch on those for us. Thank you. Thank you, Jared. So members, just a proposer and seconder to note those four items, please. Go here. Thank you very much. Okay, members, that brings us to the end of the meeting. Thank you so much for your attendance and for all the questions, and to all the officers present as well. Really appreciate it. So until January. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the day in the sunshine.
Thank you.